Ooh. All right. So that would make about, so last night around 8, and this morning around 10, and then 2. So somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 hours, about 350 shofar blasts there. All right. I know I say this probably every time when I get up here afterwards, I love hanging out with the prisoners. I really do. They're just, they have such a heart. Now that they've been redeemed, now that they've been healed. So the reason I wanted to throw in that little extra shofar blast is I wanted you to think for a minute. What would you do if that was for real? If that was the one? I'm not sure where we're going to go come the first of the year. We'll tell you that we're... I've been asked about membership and stuff, and we're going to... we've got an elders board, or elders team now, I guess you could say. We'll make that announcement, and then we're going to do... for those who kind of want to officially join and has read over the document that we put together, call it a bylaws, if you will, but it's not really a, it's more of a membership guide is what we called it. It's what we believe, what is expected as people who want to be a part of this congregation. And we'll do a salt covenant together to be a community. And we're going to do that at the beginning of the year, probably the end of the last day of Sukkot, you know, right before the new year begins. But we'll see what's going to happen as we go forward from there, because I think I've told you in the past that I really, unless there's really like a big thing that the Lord drops upon me that I know is going to take 2 or 3 sermons, I usually only know about a week out or so about what it is that I'll be speaking on. And I won't be long today because we're going to do a recap, and then we're going to go down to the, we're going to eat, and then we're going to go down to the Two Rivers Park and do the Tosh Leek service. So I'll do a little overview about today, what this season represents, and a little recap of the messages. And the reason I say all this is because I just felt really strongly, more than any other time in this season of Elul leading up to today, that we really are making sure that what we talk about reflection is not just something we do because it's the season, because some tradition says so. I think that for too long, a watered-down gospel and a softening of holiness, righteousness, set-apart living has been taught for too long. And you won't find what's commonly taught on television in the gospel in the New Testament. We are meant to be different. We are meant to be set apart. Our speech should be different. Our lives should be different. What we watch on television should be different. What we see on the internet should be different. How we treat people should be different. Everything about us should be completely other, holy. And there's going to come a time when that time comes, when it comes for real. I think I've made it clear that I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And there could be a 3.5, a 7-year period. We don't know how long the quote-unquote tribulation period will be. But if we're going to believe the parables about the wheat from the chaff, from the wheat from the tares, then that means there's going to come a time where those who are pretending, the tares that look like wheat, are not. And they're going to be separated. And that's going to happen right before the harvest. The good thing about potentially living in that generation is there are people who will live their entire lives as tares and not know it until they close their eyes, because they have been so self-deceived and deluded. And so I've just felt really strongly for this last month to just, we have got to make sure that we, I am only responsible for the people that come in here. And if I was able to get on a national radio or television, I'd be preaching the message of repentance. I don't know why we can't remember that that was what John the Baptist came to do, and those were the first words that Yeshua said. I don't know why we can't remember that. He didn't say, I've come to give you more money. Right? You know, that's where I lose my love part and would like to tar and feather a couple preachers. But you know what? I'm trying to figure out what I did with that ring. There it is. It always makes a noise when I hit on that drum, so that's why I got to take it off here. So what we've done over the last month or so is talk about holiness, His presence, and being undone, and love. In Matthew 6:33, he says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And in Matthew 5:20, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we know who he was talking to at the moment. But when we talked about His presence, we're talking about seeking His face. And we talked about how that when we desire to enter into that, there is a part of things that if it's the brokenness, He will heal you. But if it's sin, He's going to carve it out. Right. And I think that one of the other false messages is that you enter into His presence just so you can feel good. That's true if your heart's clean. Right. If your heart's clean, it's not true. That's why there's a brokenness whenever you really enter into that. Whenever you really experience those times and those places where people have just had the heaviness of the Lord. That's why many times you'll hear weeping and people crying out because they're becoming undone, like Isaiah when he stepped in the holy, 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 and he's like, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy to be standing here. And are we doing like the woman who reached out to touch the hem of the garment? She pushed through the crowd to get to Him because she said, I know my only place is healing is right here. I've wasted 12 years with doctors. I have to get to Him. Or do we go, well, He's passing through Galilee, but my show's on. I've got to go to my friend's house. I can't make that. Well, I can't be there. Right, right. Summer, come on, man. That's lake time. Or do we do like Peter when Yeshua took that towel and wrapped it around him and went and washed their feet? And Peter's shocked. Why are you washing my feet? I should be washing yours. And he said, permit it to be so, or you won't have a part with me, I think is how it's worded. And then Peter said, well, not just my feet, but my hands and my head and everything. I want it all. Amen. There's a song that I've been playing over and over. When I have time at my at work, when I've got to do some things on the computer at my desk, I'll just pull up some songs and just sit there and just worship at my desk and then get half my work done. And one of them is titled, Just Jesus Have It All. And do we pray that prayer like Peter? Just, I want it all. I want everything that you have. I love our Torah studies and I love our discussions and I love the things that we search out and I love to study and dig into the Word of God. But we want to make sure that we don't ever fall into the place where knowledge puffs up and then we forget about the spirit of things. You know, when I was talking about in communion, I don't know. I know I'm not there yet. That's why I said half this time I'm preaching to the man in the mirror. Are we just willing to do what people like Honi did? Are we willing to do what like the first century church did? And go, we're going there, and we're getting all 120 of us together, and we're not leaving until you do what you said you would do. And I would never say this, but sometimes I want to say this. I don't think he'd kill me. Because I'm very straightforward. You said that if we petitioned you on this matter, you would do it. If you do not heal that person, you're a liar. How can I trust you're going to save my eternal soul when the thing that I can see right here has not gotten up and walking? And I'm asking you. I'm believing you. You know what I mean? I haven't said that yet. I'm just telling you what's in here. But that's the level of boldness, though. I think at times he's going, yeah, remind me of my word. We're not leaving the house of God until the Spirit falls. And if we got to stay in the upper room for 10 days after Yeshua leaves, we're not leaving. And when I was sitting, I was thinking, when I was listening to all this, listening to all these different songs and stuff, and we have got, for the last generation, the last 20 to 30 years, we have had some really powerful, powerful worship music that's come out. I mean, I'm listening to these guys, and I just have moments. I've said this before about being up here. You know I do this because of you, right? The praise and worship team, and when we come together, we do this for the congregation. Because I've had some extremely powerful moments with a headset on. But you know, you'll never have the fullness of the power of God until it's all. Because you can only have a little bit. But to use a really spiritual reference from the Ghostbusters, you got to cross the streams. For the young people that haven't seen it yet, you got to go see it. My house was raised right. You got to see it. But until we come together in oneness and unity, and when that happens, then the power comes. When the disciples came together in one accord, then the power comes. I don't know what the prayer is. I don't know. I just know that I'm hungry for something real. And I've asked, you know, when I was sitting, I was thinking, I just had the thought this week as I was listening to one of these songs. There's several of them that I've just listened to all the time. It's like, these guys have had some of the most powerful music. Why hasn't it just created this crazy outpouring of the Spirit? And I think it's because, like we've done a lot in church, we made it about the performance instead of the Spirit. We made it about the presentation instead of the Spirit. This is why sometimes I feel bad. I am very quick to show grace and mercy to other people. I don't do it very well to myself. I just have an extremely high standard for myself. And sometimes I just sit there and beat myself up when I say something stupid. But at the same time, I'm also pretty real about it. And I'm just giving you my heart right now. And Yeshua told us in John 13 that we are to, the commandment that He gave us was that we are to love like He showed them how to love. That's the only new commandment He gave. A friend of mine, Ibarz, his rabbi, wrote a book that said Jesus never said anything new. And the only thing He ever said new was to love as I have loved you, as He has demonstrated. And I think that when you read those places where He says that He's had compassion upon them, and I have a friend that I used to work with on the internet, and he's gone through deconstruction. He no longer believes. He's now an agnostic. And now he's trying to take a bunch of other people with him. And so whenever he posts something, I always have to rebut it just in case there's somebody with a half a brain that comes across it and go, no, he's an idiot. He's gone down the wrong path. And they'll go, well, who's that Hess guy that keeps arguing with him every time he says something about this? Because I want to give him something else to think about. And I was getting ready to make another response, and I was going to say to him, don't hear anger or yelling at this post. That actually, I really feel for you. My heart actually hurts for you. Because you're smarter than this. Now questioning the Bible with stupid means. When there is, the evidence is becoming just undeniable on a regular basis in the day in which we live. All of the archaeological evidence is being found that just confirms and confirms and confirms. And now even the scientists are going, We can no longer argue about this DNA stuff, right? This is just, somebody made this. And everybody's going, shh, 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 shh. You can't say that. So they have to come up with some other. Did God say? That's also why we do our Torah studies. Because we're not going to be a place where all we do is just seek after the presence but not dig into the knowledge. You got to have both. You have to be completely balanced. That's why we do what we do. So I blew that shofar because I wanted us to pause and to say that we are entering into the days of awe. And the days of awe give the idea of fear. But, and as I've said last night, that we are going to have to give an account for the things that we've done. 1 Corinthians 3 says that. That everything that has been done for the world will be burned up and the things for God will endure. That's the judgment that we as believers still have to remember. And so when that shofar sounds and we have those moments where we really stop and go, what if that was for real? Do we stop in this season and just go, man, last night was great. We had a great crowd. It was great to listen to Billy and Steve mess up all the blast and just have a great fellowship and remembering this time in the season and having a bunch of bread and apples and honey. But then you might as well go back and put up a Christmas tree. Chase Easter eggs if it's all become a tradition to you. And it doesn't mean anything that it doesn't dig into your heart and into your soul. That's why I felt so compelled to talk about this stuff for the last 4 or 5 weeks, because I never wanted to be just a different tradition. Some of the Pharisees did that, and many in the church has done that. And do we have that fear and that reverence of the Lord? One of the scriptures I read in one of the sermons was about the presence of the Lord, and the first mention about fleeing from the presence is when Adam and Eve had sinned, and God showed up, and they ran away, and they went from His presence, and He asked where they were, and they said they were afraid. And both of those are the first two times those words were mentioned. The word for presence, which means His face, and the word for being afraid. And I just hope that we keep that reverent fear that He is God, He is our King, He is our Father, but He is also Abba. And remember, Yeshua said of the apostles, He said, now you are my friends. Because He said He wasn't going to keep hidden from them the things that He was going to be doing. He even said that of Abraham, I think. And I think that how God presents Himself to us is the stages on where we're at. And does He move from a place of being God to your father, to your daddy, to your friend, because now He can trust you. And now He can tell you His plans and now the things that He wants to do. And have that communication like Him and Moses had. I say it this way about Yeshua when He came the first time. I believe God had the time of His life. You're like, wait a minute, He's eternal. You understand what I'm saying? From the beginning of creation, ever since He lost communication with Adam and lost walking with Adam, He came, took on flesh, tabernacled with His creation, and had 11 really good friends. And they got to hang out and go fishing, but preach the kingdom. I believe that at that moment, God gave us a taste of what He's going to do when He comes back and that shofar sounds, and we really get to just walk. But in the Spirit, we can do that now. And that's the point that I'm making in all of this, is that we learn to walk in that now. David said in Psalm 51, he said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That's really what this is about, between now and eternity. Because we've been bought and set apart. We know, it says that when He comes back, it's apart from salvation. But now it's about, where am I at in communion? You know, you can be married and not realize that you're married. You can have a dead marriage. You just go through the motions. Yeah, we've been married 20 years. When was the last time you took your wife out to dinner? 20 years ago? When was the last time you bought her flowers? Never. I buy mine flowers every Friday. I got that in Israel in 2011 when I went on my trip, and I learned that in the shuk, when they get all the stuff, that all the guys will buy flowers for their wife. So I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. And then we go out to dinner on a regular basis. You know why? I can't do this in front of my daughter. Because I'm foolishly in love. Been married 30 years. 100 times more than I ever thought I was in the beginning. And if I thought I could get by with it, I would leave you all and then she and I would just travel the world. But God would whoop us every part of the way because this is what we're supposed to be doing. And if that's not right, I know it's not right. The same way I should know this ain't right. The same way we should be going, hey, what'd I do? And she'll go, well, sit down. Get out a pad and paper. Matt, I got a PowerPoint presentation. Just take a seat. No, that's not that bad. That we realize how much God loves us and in how much He wants us to express that love. So as we go forward in this season, over these next 10 days, that shofar has been sounded and the Yom Kippur is coming upon us. How are we going to answer God on our Day of Atonement when He asks, what did you do with what I gave you? That's the thing that fears me. I know I'm going to be with Him in eternity, but am I working worthy of the gift that He gave me? Find that place where you can see God in every single one of His attributes. God Almighty, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, the Creator of all things, but yet also who wants the one that wants to sit on the hillside in Galilee with you in fellowship. Keep that reverence, but desire that intimacy. And I'm going to close with this. I don't know that I've ever made this statement like I'm about to make. And I'm uncertain at what point, why over these last few months, I've been, I don't know if you want to use the phrase emotional, because that's not normally a condition that I find myself in. Where I'm just sitting there watching something, listening to something, meditating on something, and all of a sudden I can just feel this little, not it's not quite tears, but I just feel that little tinge right there. And I know that if I don't go, that I'm just going to start weeping. And I'm just in a wonderful place in our lives. But here's what I think God has showed me. Jeremiah in the heart of Nehemiah. That when they saw the fall of Jerusalem, it says they wept. And I believe what the Spirit of God dropped upon my heart when I was meditating that I knew that I was supposed to speak about the days of awe today. I believe what He said was, America's days of awe have begun. I love this country. Gave 20 years of my life in service to it. Grew up at the tail end of some of the best generation in the 70s when you could still run around and not have to worry about anything. And people back then actually loved our country. And that was back when everything still shut down on Sundays in the end of the 70s there and into the 80s. And then things started to change. Yes, I know I've said it a bunch. I do believe we're going to be entering that season in the time in which the Lord's returning, but we cannot be 100% sure. We're building a house. And until God wakes me up at the end of the night, stands literally before me and says, next week, we're not living that way. But I think one of the things that's become undeniable is this country doesn't survive. The country that you thought you knew even 10 and 15 and 20 years ago doesn't exist. And I will tell you that unless there is a revival that would be worthy of the 67th book of the Bible, that there would be worth putting in an addendum to the book of Acts chapter 2:38, this nation will not survive. And I think that we need to start preparing ourselves mentally for what is happening in the rest of this country. And I think that one day, and I think sometime over the next year, there are things that are going to happen that are going to transform the world. Will it line up with the prophetic timetable? Time will tell. But when you raise a generation of people that can't stand their country, when a group and a nation of people have decided that murdering innocent children is the way to go, you go say, well, we repealed Roe versus Wade. We did, but last year the greatest number of abortions that has ever been happened in this nation happened last year. You know what they did? They went to another state. They went to the place where they could go. It didn't change hearts. Not only that, now we transition from murdering them. If they happen to survive the murder, when they become 10 and 12, we're going to mutilate them. I will not ever give this message, and I will tell you, you know, I told you I love Dr. Brown, but sometimes I just can't listen to him. I'm like, look, dude, if the house is on fire, you don't go, man, it's warm in here. This is great. Has anybody got marshmallows? Like, he's just one of those guys that are just overly optimistic on everything. And I'm sitting there, I was like, dude, the house is on fire. Stop saying this massive revival is coming and it's going to flip the world upside down. I hope it's right. Here's what I believe, though. It will not come until we're brought to our knees. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. It will come after we are broken, after we have become Isaiah, after we have become Nehemiah, after we've become undone. The greatest harvest, if you were here Wednesday night and you heard what Pastor Witten was talking and sharing about, he's right. The greatest harvest in the history of the church will happen in the end times. But it's going to be the greatest outpouring of violence simultaneously while there'll be the greatest outpouring of salvation. I believe that. But I think that we have to accept reality of the things that are happening. And I'm not saying, thus says the Lord. The only thing I'm saying that I felt like the Lord dropped in my spirit is that America has entered into its days of awe. And unless America repents, America is going to receive a bad judgment, is going to have a poor writing. And this is really my real strong sense of all of this is because of what we see. I watched a video of a guy talking about the economics, and he said, and I like things when people study things and they make sense, not just, you know, the Spirit of God said or showed and then something doesn't happen and you're like, well, I don't know that was the Spirit of God. But what he did is he started working through as he was studying economics, and he went through the history of economics for the last 100 years so he could measure the patterns of events. And then he started studying the patterns of empires and their economic collapse. And he said, and there's one thing that always happens right before the nation ultimately falls, is he said they start fighting internally. And he goes, that's the last stage of the collapse of an empire. And he said, that's why January the 6th happened. Because that was no longer are we willing to talk to one another, we're only going to fight about it. And no matter who wins next November, both parties are going to ignore what happened and blame the others for stealing. And it's going to be, I think, the final stage for the infighting that's going to then go into the collapse. And then that's the very next interesting point he made was, he goes, we did the same thing. And that is, when the big guy on the block shows weakness, then the next big guy comes in and whoops him. And he said the next guys are waiting in the wings because they see a nation. I mean, come on, guys, look at our president. Look at what we advertise in our military. They have transgender shows on military bases now. Really, that's going to instill fear in our enemies. So I'm saying, however it is you feel like you need to do this, but I know it needs to be that we need to make sure as individuals and we need to be ready for when these things begin to transpire. I think the final stage is when we turn our back on Israel. That day's coming. We are currently undermining them. You're like, well, we're Israel's friend. Not really. We're doing a lot of things to undermine them. And remember, I always quote Ezekiel 37:38 there, when God gets really angry about them dividing the land of Israel. God is not going to tolerate any peace agreement with any group that says this eastern half from Jerusalem over belongs to somebody other than the children of Israel. He's not going to tolerate it. And if we are the ones pushing and undermining it, then he's going to go, you divide my land, I divide you. Yes. So I think that's the final straw. I just think that's where we're at. I really hope it's the time in the season of the Lord's return, that it can be a time of rejoicing and celebrating, because when that becomes abundantly clear, there is going to be a mood that changes. I'm okay with what happens to this nation now, because I've let go of the idea that America and Christianity were synonyms. And they're not. What made America great was Christianity, and America is no longer great because Christianity is no longer an influence in this nation. And so I've lost my love affair with America, because I, like many of us in this nation, have thought that the kingdom of God and America were synonyms. It was the closest thing to it. People from all tribes, tongues, and nations came around from the world, and they worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob together. But we don't do that. So, sorry if this feels a little heavy, because it is, because I do believe we've become so numb to the things that we're watching happening today that we have forgotten how bad it really is. And I just feel that I have a responsibility to go, guys, we need to shake ourselves. I know most everybody in here is pretty solid. You know, you guys are here. But it's more of a, you need to be ready, because there's going to be people that are going to be clamoring. There's going to be people that are still hanging on to the flag instead of the hem of the garment. They're going to be looking for answers. And they're going to be wondering why they didn't get raptured out either. And you got to be ready for that. And I just think we need to be ready for during this season. So I won't give you just the, man, it's going to be great. Everything's going to be awesome. It's not. It's going to catch fire. It is. But what are you going to do in the midst of it? Some of the craziest environments that I've been when I was in the military, when I was deployed in crazy situations, is the calmest I've ever been. Billy was a fighter. When you go into a ring to fight, I would not be a good fighter. If you hit me, I'm going to get mad. I watch those guys that make that, they keep that composure the whole time. It's like after the first time, I was like, give me a knife. Right? I wouldn't be a good fighter. But when everything was falling apart and things were getting chaotic because of my training, you don't even focus on it. So we got to make sure we're trained up and ready to go, because that way when it does and all these people are going, ah, you go, hey, come here. It's okay. It's not as crazy and bad as you think it is. It's okay. It's going to be okay. You heard of Jesus? Well, yeah, but I ain't been in a while. Well, come on. Let's pray. Let's open up the scriptures and be that sense of calm for people, because they're going to be wondering. They're going to be asking. And again, whether it's the end of days or not, doesn't matter. It is impossible mathematically for this nation to survive the economic collapse that's coming. 33 trillion dollars is a number that you cannot even begin to fathom. I preached a message years ago that from a book that I got when I went to go visit my friend Ibarz called When a Nation Forgets God. And it was, the guy quoted Bonhoeffer quite a bit in it. He was talking about what happened to Germany when Germany left God and allowed Hitler to rise up. Just be ready. And we can talk more about what that looks like, if there's any kind of other being readiness means. But anyhow, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you. Father, though this closing topic was a heavy topic, you served your people Israel a warning when the Assyrians came in. Israel didn't listen, and they got taken. Judah saw what happened and still didn't listen. You are merciful, And if you brought judgment against your own people, your own land, your own temple, your own city, then how much more to a nation that has not only just turned its back on you, but now shakes its fist at you? Father, we pray that a spirit of repentance and crying out to you would just consume and flow through this land. We need you during this time, these days of all, Lord, to just be aware of the gravity of our sins, the gravity of the sins of this nation. And we just pray that you would begin to stir up within the remnant those people who would hunger again for your presence, that they would not desire to put on a show, a performance, a slide presentation, a smoke and mirror show, but they would desire, pursue your manifested presence, your glory, and not be satisfied until it comes. And that you would shake off everything that can be shaken, Lord. And those things that cannot be shaken would remain. Show us the things that need to be pruned off our limbs before the shaking comes, to fertilize around our roots so our roots go deeper, that we will be even stronger, even more dedicated, more hungry for you. And if there's any lukewarmness, then show us that so that we could become hot and on fire again for you, Lord. And Father, if it's that time and you are shaking the world, you are shaking the universe, then make that known, because you said to Daniel that these things would be shut up until the time of the end and that you would reveal it to the wise. And if we've been found worthy to be wise enough to understand it, and if that's where we're at and we've now got our focus on you and not on this nation, then we can rejoice, because Yeshua told us to look up when our redemption draws near, to lift our head and to be rejoiceful. And so if it's that time, let us not mourn this worldly kingdom, America, but rejoice that you are getting ready to establish the eternal kingdom. And even if it's not that time, let the fall cause us to refocus like your intention was for Israel. Let this nation that we have loved but yet forsaken you come back to you when you shake us. I just pray that all of those that have the voices, whether it be in politics or whether it be Christian television, Christian radio, that they would begin to trumpet out the call to repentance, the call to return to you, Lord God. Help us to walk boldly in this season, knowing that we have come before you, we have heard the shofar call, we have cast all of our sins upon the Messiah, that He carried those and that He cast them into the depths of the sea. And to walk in that boldness and knowing that, Lord God, and rejoice in that no matter the outcome in this life and in this nation and in this time. Father, we love you so much and we just thank you for what you're going to be doing. We thank you for this message of a rudder correction, of getting us back on course for any area, no matter how small, that we've veered off. We just want your presence and your glory, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen.